All right, so we're diving deep into the Book of Job today, but not the stuff everybody already knows.
Right.
Not just like the, you know, surface level.
Yeah.
Righteous guy suffers, cries out to God, the end.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Going deeper, we're focusing on one particular character.
Yeah.
And I think he's often misunderstood. It's the challenger.
Yeah, and you know what's so interesting about this is that we kind of jump immediately to devil, right?
Yeah.
But in the Hebrew text, it's HaSatan.
Okay.
Which is more of a title than a name, really.
Okay, so almost like a job description.
Exactly.
The challenger. Like, what does that actually mean in this story?
Well, think of it like this. In the Old Testament, there's this idea of a divine council, right?
Okay.
So it's kind of like advisors that surround a king. And these sons of God are part of this council, and the challenger is among them.
Okay.
And his role is to, well, challenge. To oppose.
Okay.
It's not necessarily malicious. It's more like poking holes in an argument.
So not some like demonic figure lurking in the shadows.
Right.
But like a member of God's own inner circle. That's not what most people think of.
Exactly. Exactly. And yeah. This challenging role could be filled by anyone. Humans, angels, even God himself at times.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So we see examples of kings being Satans to each other when they oppose one another.
Okay.
Even the angel of the Lord acts as a Satan in Numbers, blocking someone's path.
Okay.
It's about creating obstacles, raising questions.
So if you're reading this through that lens, then like the challenger in Job isn't necessarily evil.
Right.
What's he challenging?
Well, he's taking aim at God's policies, specifically this notion that Job is righteous because God has blessed him with good fortune.
Okay.
So it raises this really thought-provoking question. If good things constantly happen to you, can you really be sure you're actually a good person?
Oh, wow. Yeah. I've never really thought of it that way. That's a good point.
Right.
It makes it sound less like some epic battle between good and evil and more like...
Exactly. A philosophical debate.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's the thing. The text doesn't portray this challenge as some kind of underhanded scheme.
Okay.
God himself allows this test to play out.
Oh, okay.
The challenger isn't acting on his own. He's operating within boundaries set by God.
Okay. That's a really interesting point. It really kind of reframes the whole dynamic, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And the challenger doesn't even directly target Job.
Okay.
He's not whispering in his ear or tempting him.
Right.
His focus is on challenging God's assertion about Job's righteousness, not on tormenting Job himself.
Okay. But I think a lot of people would argue that, you know, the challenger seems to take some kind of pleasure in Job's suffering. Would you say that's a fair reading?
Well, it's interesting because the text doesn't actually distinguish between God's and the challenger's reactions to Job's suffering.
Oh, okay.
So it's more complex than simply saying that one is delighted and the other is sorrowful.
So are we saying that they're both responsible? Well, the text consistently emphasizes that God is ultimately the one in control.
Okay.
It's God who allows Job to be tested, and it's God whom Job holds accountable for his pain. The challenger is a catalyst, but not the ultimate cause.
Okay, so heavy stuff. But if the challenger is just playing a role within God's plan, then why even include him in the story? What's his purpose?
Well, he serves a critical function. He throws a wrench in our assumptions.
Okay.
Is Job truly righteous, or is he just playing the part because life has been good to him? The challenger's presence sets up this central conflict. It forces us to confront the complexity of faith and righteousness when life throws its worst at us.
This is already changing my whole perspective. So instead of this devil figure we typically imagine, we should be thinking more of a catalyst for Job's spiritual wrestling match.
That's a great way to put it. He's a force that disrupts the status quo.
Okay.
A necessary element in this exploration of faith and suffering.
Okay, so if the challenger isn't the ultimate source of Job's suffering, then what does the book suggest about why righteous people experience hardship?
Well, that's a question that's plagued humanity for centuries.
Yeah.
And it's one we'll need to unpack as we delve deeper into the story. It really is a question, isn't it? Woven into the fabric of human experience. Why do bad things happen to good people? And the Book of Job, well, it doesn't pretend to have this simple answer.
Yeah, that's always what kind of bugged me about some of those stories.
Right.
Like they try to wrap everything up with a neat little bow.
Exactly.
But life just isn't like that.
Exactly. Life is messy. It's full of contradictions. And the Book of Job really reflects that.
Right.
It grapples with that whole mystery of suffering.
Yeah.
Acknowledging that sometimes there just isn't an easy explanation.
See, I actually find that kind of comforting in a weird way.
Right.
Because it's honest. It's like, Yeah, we don't know why bad things happen sometimes. But if we're not supposed to look at the challenger as the source of this suffering, then where does that responsibility lie?
That's where the text gets really interesting. You see, the challenger is operating within the boundaries set by God.
Okay.
Ultimately, it's God who allows Job to undergo these trials.
So God is intentionally causing Job's suffering? Is that what we're saying?
It's not quite as straightforward as that.
Okay.
The book of Job doesn't present God as some kind of puppet master pulling strings to inflict pain.
Okay.
It's more about acknowledging the vastness of God's power and knowledge. The idea that there are things happening that we, with our limited human understanding, may just never fully grasp.
I can see how that would be a tough concept to swallow for some people.
Right.
We want easy answers.
Yes.
We want somebody to blame when things go wrong.
Absolutely. But the book of Job suggests that sometimes the most profound answers, they don't lie in finding a scapegoat, you know? They lie in wrestling with the mystery itself.
So it sounds like the book of Job is more about asking those hard questions than it is about providing easy answers.
In a way, yeah. It challenges us to kind of move beyond these simplistic notions of good and evil, reward and punishment.
Right.
It forces us to confront the reality that suffering exists, even for those who seem to live righteous lives.
This whole idea of the challenger, even though he's not this, like, big bad devil guy we think he is,
right,
it really does push us to consider those larger questions about the nature of suffering, doesn't it?
Precisely. By challenging God's declaration of Job's righteousness, it forces us to examine our own assumptions about why bad things happen.
Right.
I mean, we often try to explain suffering away with platitudes, right?
Right. They must have done something to deserve it, or everything happens for a reason.
Right, exactly. You know, those statements, they can be comforting, but they often oversimplify the complexities of human experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the book of Job suggests that sometimes there just aren't easy answers.
Yeah.
And that can be okay.
So it's more about accepting the mystery.
Yeah.
Wrestling with the tough questions and finding a way to hold on to faith, even in the midst of all the darkness.
That's a powerful way to put it. And that message, it resonates across time and cultures. You know, it speaks to this really fundamental human desire to understand suffering, to find meaning in a world that often feels so chaotic.
Even though this book was written thousands of years ago, it still feels so relevant to our lives today.
It does, doesn't it?
Like, we're still grappling with those same questions. Why do bad things happen?
Exactly. And that's the mark of truly great literature. You know, it taps into these timeless truths
right.
that transcend specific historical contexts. So we've explored this challenger's role in kind of pushing us toward these deeper questions about suffering. But what about Job himself?
Right. Yeah. It's easy to forget that Job is at the center of this.
He is.
He's the one actually going through all of this.
He's not a passive victim in all of this.
Okay.
His response, it's anything but quiet acceptance.
Okay, now I'm really interested. Tell me more about Job and how he responds to all of this.
Okay.
So we've got this challenger, right? Pushing the boundaries of this cosmic wager and poor Job caught in the middle of it all.
Mm-hmm.
And you were saying that Job, he doesn't just take this lying down.
Oh, not at all. I mean, what's really remarkable about Job is that he doesn't just crumble under the weight of all this suffering. He doesn't curse God and die like the challenger suggests he might. He fights back.
Wow.
Yeah, he rails against the injustice of it all.
That takes guts to actually, like, challenge the forces that seem to be controlling your fate.
It does. And, you know, his wrestling with God, it's actually a testament to his faith.
Okay.
He demands answers. He doesn't shy away from asking those hard questions.
I think that's something that a lot of people listening can probably relate to. When you're going through those really tough times, it's natural to question your beliefs, ask, you know, why me?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the book of Job, it gives us permission to voice those doubts.
Right.
To acknowledge that anger and struggle, you know, they're part of the human experience, even for the most devout.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't leave us there wallowing in despair.
So there is light at the end of the tunnel for Job.
In the end, Job has this really profound encounter with God.
Okay.
He doesn't necessarily get all the answers that he's seeking, but he gains something perhaps even more significant.
What's that?
A renewed sense of awe and wonder at the majesty and mystery of God.
Okay.
He comes to realize that God's ways, they're just beyond our finite human comprehension.
Right.
There are things at play that we may just never fully understand.
So it's not about getting a clear explanation for suffering.
No.
It's more about accepting the limits of our understanding.
Precisely. And in that surrender, in acknowledging the vastness of God and the mystery of his ways, Job finds a measure of peace. Okay. He doesn't regain everything that he lost, but he discovers a way to move forward, to live with faith and hope.
So the book of Job, then, it sounds like it's ultimately a story about resilience.
Yeah.
About finding the strength to keep going, even when faced with the unknown.
Exactly. It reminds us that true faith isn't about having all the answers.
Yeah.
It's about clinging to hope, even when surrounded by darkness and doubt.
And maybe it's about recognizing that sometimes grappling with the questions mm-hmm. is more important than arriving at those easy answers.
That's a valuable insight. The book of Job invites us to engage in this ongoing dialogue about faith and suffering, to wrestle with the mystery,
right.
and to seek meaning even in the midst of chaos.
So what does all this mean for us today? I mean, most of us, hopefully, won't face suffering on the scale that Job did, but everybody experiences some kind of hardship and loss in their lives.
Right. And the book of Job, I think it offers us this framework for understanding our own struggles.
Okay.
It reminds us that we're not alone in our suffering. Huh. That even those who strive to live righteous lives, they will face pain. They'll face adversity.
And it gives us permission to question, to express our doubts, yeah. to challenge the injustices that we see in the world.
Absolutely. But it also reminds us that even in the darkest of times, there is always hope.
Mm-hmm.
There's potential for growth and a renewal. Even in the midst of suffering.
It's about finding a way to live with faith, with resilience.
Yes.
Accepting that we may never have all the answers.
Yes. And perhaps in that very acceptance, we find this deeper, more profound understanding of ourselves and the world around us.
I got to say this deep dive into the book of Job has been truly eye-opening.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
I don't think I'll ever read this story the same way again.
I'm glad to hear that. Hopefully, this has provided you with a fresh perspective on this ancient text and its enduring relevance for our lives today.
It certainly has. It's given me a lot to think about. So that's our deep dive into the book of Job for you.
That's it.
We hope you enjoyed this exploration of faith, suffering, and the challenger who forces us to confront the complexities of it all. Until next time, keep asking those tough questions, keep seeking understanding, and keep the conversation going.